and welcome to the sound of the start of the final day of the season. Open brackets in Leagues 1 and 2. Close brackets. This is the NTT20 betting show sponsored by Betfair. It's for over 18s only. It'll be me, Ali Maxwell, and him, George Ellick, making betting picks this weekend. If you're thinking of placing a bet this weekend or any time, make sure that you're gamble aware and understand the risks that come with gambling. Head to begambleaware.org to do so. I'm very excited. I'm sitting next to the man that this week I'm calling the prophet, George Ellick. On last week's show, pure green on the spreadsheet and 3 out of 3 in the BTTS sixfold as well. It's one of the most beautiful visuals I've ever seen.
Should have had the Acca. Good week last week. I've done a Doncaster where I've been like pretty poor for most of the season, then decided to just rattle into the top end right at the end.
Incredible picks. Fleetwood winning it at Leyton Orient, your nap at 12-5 with a late winner. Salford, your next best, winning against Newport with a late winner. John McAtee at 4-1, an anytime goal scorer. And the best of the lot, price-wise, Wigan beating Portsmouth at Fratton Park and BTTS as well. Another late goal for you there. For me, Blackpool, my nap was a winner. And that was it. Hit the post 3 times, really, if I may protest. Southampton -1. If you've seen the chances they had at 1-0, you'll feel my pain. Callum Kavanagh, anytime for Bradford against Walsall. If you see the chance that he missed, you'll feel my pain. And Bradford and Salford, both to win, and BTTS in both games. Well, Bradford did. Salford won, but it was 1-0. So that 21-1 long shot, almost, but not quite. But I mean, such high spirits. I love the final day of the season. It's my favourite betting weekend of the season for sure. Final day in League One and League Two, the penultimate weekend of the Championship. I'm straining at the leash, but first I want to hear from the form man. What is your nap, the best bet of the weekend?
My nap is Blackburn Rovers to beat Coventry at 6-5. This is a price that has come in a lot over the last week, but also over the last 24 hours. But I'd be pretty surprised if it's not odds on come Saturday. So I think it's got a way still to go. Now, like cards on the table, any subscribers to the Long Shot TLS, our betting Substack, will know that I've been backing Blackburn pretty consistently for relegation this season. Put them up at 20-1, put them up at 16-1. So I have quite a big position on them to do so. So I've got a proper eye on this game. And in doing so, it's led me to believe that Coventry at home is probably the perfect game for Blackburn to have, which is disappointing for those on at a big price, albeit the 150-1 on Sammy Smodics to be Championship top scorer will hopefully help out in that regard. Coventry have had some week. They obviously had that incredible game at Wembley on Sunday where we saw them come out in penalty shootout, having had to go through extra time. The players looked pretty exhausted off the back of it, unsurprisingly, and they had to go because of the fixture congestion that cup run has caused, with it probably not being anticipated that a Championship club would go into the semi-finals of the FA Cup. It's meant that they've got a midweek game. They had a midweek game this week. They've got a midweek game next week, and their midweek game at home to Hull on Wednesday night looked to me, I mean, it went against them. They lost the game 3-2. I wouldn't say the game was as tight as the scoreline necessarily suggests that it was. We saw Bobby Thomas score a header and Casey Palmer score a direct free kick. But in terms of open play chance creation, it was very little. And then Mark Robbins came out after the game and basically said, you know, he outlined some of the injuries that have been sustained over the last couple of weeks. Torp was out yesterday with an abdominal strain. Tavares has got a serious knee injury off the back of the FA Cup performance, which is such a shame because he was so good on the day when he came on. So they are walking wounded anyway. And then you add to that the fact that the result against Hull ends their season, that their top six hopes are gone now. They aren't going to finish in the playoffs. So what that leaves you with is an exhausted side with nothing to play for. And Robbins even said, you know, if we have to, we're going to have to play the youngsters. And we saw in midweek on Tuesday night when Peterborough put out their weekend team against a very, very similar situation to this, where the home team need a win for their relegation, for their survival prospects, up against a side whose season for now is gone, albeit Coventry's they've got nothing to play for. Peterborough at least have a playoff campaign coming. And if Coventry do put out a weakened team, I find it really difficult to believe or see why they would be up for this. And even if they don't play a weakened team, I think they are mentally and physically exhausted and justifiably so. And they've got a game next midweek against Ipswich as well, which is on the horizon too. So loads of reasons in my mind to get against Coventry. In Blackburn, you've got a team who last time out were beaten 3-1 against Sheffield Wednesday, which obviously isn't a great bit of form coming into this. But anyone who watched that game will know how crazy it was, where of the three goals they conceded, one was the keeper being caught out of his goal and a sumptuous lob from Josh Windass from 40 yards. And then the third goal was a freak goal where Ainsley Pears just did a complete air kick when there was a bobble and the ball spanned behind him and went in the goal. So, yes, they conceded three goals, but I mean, two of them were freak goals that I think you can really account for necessarily. And when you look at their over the course of, you know, of John Eustace's reign, yes, they haven't had a win at home since February the 10th when they beat Stoke 3-1. But they've also only lost two games in their last six at home. Those were the Wednesday game and then the 1-0 defeat against Ipswich. Apart from that, they've drawn against Norwich, Millwall, Argyle and Southampton. So two teams there who are probably going to finish in the top six. I don't think, and also in the first half against Wednesday, they were the better team. In Smodic, obviously, they've got a player who should punish any defensive side who aren't really at it. And this is their biggest game of the season. If they win here, then they are going to be staying up this season, and that is that. So in terms of the way they're playing, I think they should have enough for Coventry. In terms of the motivation, it's definitely there. And I think it's their perfect opponent. So, yeah, I've had one of my biggest bets of the season on Blackburn at home to Coventry at 6-5.
Anti-post George versus betting show George.
Yeah.
That's
it's handy that it's a hedge as well. But that doesn't come into it though.
So this weekend, I'm actually going to stake 6 points, I'm afraid, unlike my usual five. I've sold a kidney in order to add one extra point to my normal five staked this weekend. I love final day because I love, from a betting point of view, just leaning into the drama and the excitement that it provides. Over the last few years, I've had a bit of fun betting over 4.5 goals lines, teams to cover the -2 handicap, and players to score two or more or hat-tricks. In fact, in 2021, which, you know, was probably the billboard year for final day of the season betting shows, we had seven over 4.5 goals picks, two winners for 8.5 points profit. There were four -2 handicap bets, one winner for 4 points profit, and then I picked four hat-tricks to be scored. I got one up with Adam Armstrong at 23-1, and I had probably my most upsetting loss ever, really, when Armstrong had scored a hat-trick on the Saturday at 23-1. The League One final day was on the Sunday, and I had Mikael Mandron at 80-1 playing for Crewe at midday on the Sunday. I was in working on the highlight show at Quest that day, so I was sitting in an office watching all the games with my colleagues, not really talking about bets. And after 22 minutes, Mandron had scored two goals already. So I was basically paralysed from that point until, with 80 minutes on the clock, so just over an hour later, I look up at that screen with that match feed on. I see Kirk take a shot, the keeper parry it, and a big Crew striker tap in from 2 yards. And it was Mandron, except it wasn't Mandron. 2 minutes earlier, he'd been subbed off for Chris Porter, and Chris Porter was the one that had tapped in. So for about 4-5 seconds, I thought I'd won a 1,862-1 double that would have netted me just less than 10K. So I've basically been chasing that high ever since. What am I going to do? I'm going to do four -2 handicap bets and two goal scorer picks to score two or more. I've looked at the last 5 years of final day slates across the three leagues. That's 13 final days in total, because in the last, because in 2020, League One, League Two didn't have a final day. So it's 13, not 15 over the last 5 years. 15 times in the last five seasons in the Championship, -2 handicaps been covered. 9 times in the last 4 seasons in League One, and 10 times in the last 4 seasons in League Two. So 34 from 156 games, 22%. Of the time the -2 handicap has been covered. It does happen much more than normal game week, so I think it's worth trying to find a winner or two. I'll start with one in League One. There's basically two key strands that I'm looking for. One of them is when there's no jeopardy on the game at all, but the result goes to form. So maybe a mid-table clash, but generally if there's one team in stronger form than the other and the other's tailing off, it goes the way of those finishing strong. I call that NJF, no jeopardy form.
Nice.
No jeopardy, comma, form.
Yeah.
Then there's STKG, a classic of the genre. I'm sure you'll agree. Strive, then keep going.
Are these new? Because I feel like you had names from before, but not these names.
We've got one for goals, which is MTF, which is mid-table fun.
Great. Not fun in the sun this year, because it's really cold.
Mild. Yeah, STKG is strive then keep going. That's when a team need to win. They go ahead and the other team just don't care at all because they have nothing to play for. So they're like, yeah, crack on, don't mind us. And then they just keep scoring. So in League One, there's loads of those options because all of that League One playoff battle quad, that's Barnsley against Northampton, Oxford against Exeter, Lincoln against Portsmouth, they're all playing teams who don't have an obvious thing to play for on final day, as do Blackpool, Reading, and that's my pick. Blackpool to beat Reading and cover the minus two at 7-1 with the Betfair Sportsbook. The situation is pretty simple. A Blackpool need to win and they need two of Oxford, Lincoln or Barnsley to fail to win and then they will make the playoffs. They are finishing very strong with four wins in a row heading into final day, three of them to nil. And then last week they were 3-0 up against Barnsley before two late Barnsley goals made it 3-2. But they're still very much in control of their performances recently. They're probably playing the best that they have done all season. They're playing against a Reading team who've been very impressive over the last few months, but their safety has been secured. The general situation around the club is still very insecure, and there will be so much uncertainty heading into the next few weeks and over the summer months. I think I'm struggling to imagine that having achieved exactly what they needed to, that Reading will be on tip-top form here. They conceded three to Burton last week. When they've played against current top eight teams, they've conceded three or more in 5 of 15. That's what we need this weekend. There isn't really a goal difference angle because if Blackpool can only make the same points as Barnsley, and if they do that, they will have a better goal difference. But I just feel like there's a mixture of quality and form about Blackpool at the moment. Some might call it momentum. And I think they'll do everything to win handily rather than just stop at 1-0 up, for example, which I don't think would suit them. So Blackpool minus two at 7-1.
Love it. So is that a nap?
No, they're all 1-point players for me this week.
Good to know. My next best is Cheltenham to go to Stevenage and beat them. 9-5 Cheltenham to win this game. This is, I don't know which category does this fit into yours. Stevenage, nothing to play for, Cheltenham needing a win.
That's strive and win.
Strive and win.
Well, because you don't need them to cover a handicap or score over 4.5 goals. So it's just strive.
Just strive. Stevenage come into this, the second game that they've got without Steve Evans, Alex Revel taking over. At Oxford, live on Sky last Friday night, I didn't think they were great on the night. I thought Pierre Gianni defended incredibly well. They didn't have a shot until the 60th minute. They didn't really threaten too much from an attacking standpoint. There wasn't much in that performance to have me think that they are, well, A, anything like the team they were back, you know, in the turn of the year when they were challenging for the playoffs. And the spiral of their performance level started before Evans left. You know, they haven't been a very good side over the last 2 months or so, which is why they went from being a team who are heavily odds on to finish in the playoffs to now one who cannot. Cheltenham, on the other hand, you know, they had that incredible run of form under Darrell Clarke and things haven't been as good recently. But I think we saw, yes, Peterborough put out a weakened side. A weakened side that still included Johnson Clark-Harris, Ajiboyi, like quite a lot of players in there who are seasoned EFL players. It wasn't like it was totally the kids, even though there were three or four in the side. And they battered them, to be frank. Like, they were the better team by miles. They raced into a two-goal lead very early. They had loads of opportunities to make that three or four and just didn't take them. The interesting thing to note for me was the way they carried on attacking in that game. Like, I think Darrell Clarke has very much made sure they're not going to go ahead and sit on their lead, which I think plays well into this too, because Stevenage, if they do go behind, especially given they're pretty toothless going forward at the moment, I think if Cheltenham maintain the pressure, they're not going to really get too much change out of it. Cheltenham need to win this to have any chance of staying up. If they win, then Burton have to win away at Fleetwood. If Burton win and Cheltenham win, then Cambridge have to pick something up away at Port Vale. So I think there's a fair chance if Cheltenham win this, there's a fair chance they stay up, I think. Like, it didn't look likely. They're still heavily odds on for relegation. But I think Darrell Clarke will go into this thinking, yeah, it's not on our own hands, but if we can do this, the chances are one of those two teams may well slip up, even though they're away at sides already relegated. I definitely think that Burton going to Fleetwood is a trickier game than it looks, and I don't necessarily agree with the fact that Burton are favourites for that one. So I can't really work out why Stevenage are favourites here, given I think they've been probably a bottom half of the table team at best in the last few months, and you add the Evans factor compared to a Cheltenham team who are bang at it. Matty Taylor's leading the line very well, Nuttall with the first goal, a real nuisance last time out, Sercombe playing very well too. They are this is not only the biggest game of their season, but this is Cheltenham's biggest game for a very long time. And it, and Clark has undoubtedly galvanised the side. And off the back of that win in midweek, they will go to Stevenage really believing. Like, there's no way Daryl Clark or the Cheltenham players will think that they're not the favourites to win this game going into it. And I personally agree. So, yeah, Cheltenham to win at 9-5 is my next best.
Still can't get over you got all your picks up last week.
Mm.
I realise.
Let's do it again.
7-1. It's 4-1, also
that what I quite like about it is that it was they're not sure. Like, what was the week profit?
16.85 points, yeah, nice, from 4 picks. Yeah. Oh, what I would do for that, my friend. Okay, in League Two, that's where I'm feasting this weekend. I've got 3 -2 handicap bets across the 12 games. The obvious first place to look is Doncaster Rovers, who have won 10 games in a row to reach 5th spot. An absolutely absurd achievement, now in the driving seat to make the playoffs. The Betfair Sportsbook guy sent over some stats. 4 backers of Donny to be promoted at 200-1, placed between February and March. A larger stake is £10. There's 1 backer who backed them top 7 finish at 100-1. On March the 2nd, that's less than 2 months ago, 100-1. Backed them again, the same person at 66s and 33s. They were 500-1 for promotion when they lost 5-1 to Stockport on January the 27th, but no one backed them then. No one had the foresight. But they need just a point now, so I'm not backing their -2 because I think it's more likely that if they take a lead, they will defend it against Gillingham rather than try and kick on and score 2 or 3. I'm also ignoring Bradford, the most obvious, really, -2 handicap winner. They're at home to Newport, who have lost 7 in a row, and they need to rack up the goals in order to have a chance of making the playoffs. But 3.6 is not much of a price for a -2 handicap to be covered. And I don't trust Crawley and their performance levels enough to get with them at 5-1, -2 at home to Grimsby. I'm going with Notts County. They're away at Forest Green. -2 handicap is 8-1 for Notts. This is a Forest Green side who I have very little time for. A group of players paid a very, very competitive amount for this level to be ridiculously bad all season, to really lack character and quality in their play. And a manager in Steve Cotterill, whose approach since he took charge has generally been just to sit back and let tummies be tickled. Their relegation has been confirmed. I imagine there'll be a huge clear out. Cotter will be at the heart of that. I can't imagine there's much energy being wasted motivating them for this game in front of a home crowd that's, you know, almost non-existent anyway and pretty angry at the time. So I think the Notts fans will take over the new lawn. There are 2 obvious motivations for Notts County. One of them is for their manager, Stuart Maynard, to finish the season with 4 wins from 5, which would be massive for him after a horrendous start to his reign with fans calling for his head after a matter of weeks. To finish with 4 wins and 5 would change the narrative, I think, heading into the summer, and that would be massive for him. And another is for Macaulay Langstaff to secure the golden boot. There is no chance, in my eyes, that he will stop making good runs and that Crowley and Jones, etc., wouldn't be looking for him to try and make sure that he gets the golden boot, just like he did in the National League last season. So Notts -2 at Forest Green is my first League 2 handicap pick. I've got another NJF, no jeopardy, comma, form. And it's Harrogate to beat Salford and cover the -2 at 20-1. I'd love a 20-1 winner if we could make this happen. I think Salford have basically checked out. They did beat Newport last week, but that was a terrible game between 2 terrible teams. They'd lost 4 in their, they'd lost 4 in a row before that game. And for, as I understand it, there will be big changes in the summer at Salford. A squad that has massively underperformed under Neil Wood, and then Carl Robinson has done enough to bring them to safety, but barely more than that, really. And just what I think I know about Carl Robinson and the way that he is with players, I can't see him wasting too much energy trying to motivate a group that have underperformed, and most of whom won't be there next season. So it's Harrogate for me, who in their last 7 have enjoyed themselves. They've scored 3 against MK, 3 against Bradford, 5 against Gillingham, 2 against Sutton. So they've got goals in them. And I think if Salford just can't be bothered, there's a chance Harrogate could enjoy themselves. I might have gone crazy, but I really like this at 20-1. And then the last one is Tranmere -2 at 12-1 away at Accrington. Aki have conceded 3 or more in 5 of their last 11. They've conceded the most goals in the league over the last 2 months. And you've got a Tranmere team whose underlying numbers are poor, but it doesn't matter. They've got Zen master Nigel Adkins in charge, and they're just floating on his positivity. I think Rob Apter is likely to have like 10 shots as he tries to finish an incredible season with yet more goals. And under Adkins, Tranmere have had a playoff level points return since he was appointed full-time back in November. So they are a pretty good team. I don't think we can say the same about Accrington. So Tranmere minus two at 12-1. Again, Betfair Sportsbook are offering a completely free acca or bet builder on football this weekend. That runs from Thursday the 25th until the 29th. Opt-in is required on the promotions page and the max bet varies from £1 to £10 per customer. Minimum odds 1.5 on minimum one leg. Eligibility criteria and T's and C's apply. That's a completely free acca or bet builder on football this weekend with the Betfair Sportsbook. What's next for you?
So this is goal scorer time now for those of us that stick to the script.
and sticking to the script, are you?
No.
Come off piste with me.
So I'm putting up a no goal scorer in a game, well, in the game between Crewe and Colchester. Colchester and Crewe, I should say. Mm-hmm. Home team first. But I'm actually going to back the 0-0. So it is a goal scorer pick, so I'm backing no goal scorer. But I would rather back 0-0 at 7-1 rather than no goal scorer at 6-1 because... Okay. Own goals aren't really coming into my thinking here. And I'll like a fool if there is an own goal and it's 1-0, but I'm taking the 7-1. So if you have a problem with that, at me. It's been well publicised now since the midweek games that a point for Colchester would confirm their safety regardless of what Sutton do at MK Dons. It's been widely publicised that a point for Crewe would secure their top seven spot regardless of what happens with Doncaster, what happens with Barrow, what happens with Crawley, what happens with all these sides.
With anyone.
Trying to
with anyone in the world.
Doesn't matter.
Yeah.
So what that leads to is a game between two sides where some people might disagree with me, but in my mind at least, both teams start the game 1-0 up.
Ah, you're doing this thing again that always bamboozles me.
Both teams start this game 1-0 up. Both teams have what they want when the first ball is kicked.
Yeah.
And both teams are therefore defending a lead. I don't subscribe to any idea that there is going to be any collusion here, right? I don't think we're going to see Crewe and Colchester managers have a chat before the game and say, right, if you don't attack my goal, I won't attack yours. I don't think it works like that.
You're not a big conspiracy guy.
But I do think that there is, it's especially as the game continues and as they get closer to a final whistle, both teams are going to be happier and happier with what they've got and take fewer and fewer risks. And therefore, undoubtedly a draw is much more likely than it normally is. Now this is well found in the market. Some people with quick fingers on Tuesday night would have taken a bit of the 5-2 and 12-5 about a draw. It's now a lot shorter than that. I think the draw is with the Betfair Sportsbook now is 8-5. Yeah, so maybe the value is gone, but I'm not convinced it's gone on 0-0 yet. Like, I don't think if the draw is genuinely 6-4, I don't think the 0-0 is 7-1. I would almost go as far as saying the 0-0 is the likeliest scoreline ahead of 1-1, albeit 1-1 at 5-1 still looks probably like a bet to me. I mean, I wouldn't put anyone off backing both of those now, because then you're getting better than the 8-5 about the draw if you just ignore 2-3. If it is 2-2, if it is 3-3, then, yes, it's unlucky, a loser, but realistically, the reason why you had the bet hasn't come off. It wasn't cagey. It wasn't both teams looking to set up and defend their lead. So, I think there's still massive juice in that. I think it'll continue to shorten up till Saturday. It was 8-1 until about half an hour ago, annoyingly. But at 7-1, I'm still pretty happy with it. Like, it's just a bizarre game of football. There is a possibility that, say Sutton are 2-0 down against MK Dons and Colchester find that out at half time. Do they come out in the second half and think, actually, should we have a bit of fun here and try and bury the team we're playing against?
I've been smiling to myself because this whole situation and your description of it has brought to mind the sensational British game show Golden Balls.
Yeah, yeah.
Where at the end, having worked together to build up a certain pot of money, you then reveal whether you'd like to split or steal. And if you both split, as they always say they will, you split the pot.
Yeah.
But if one of you splits and one of you steals, they get the whole thing. And I've just imagined a scenario where, for absolutely no reason whatsoever, like Jaden Fevrier gets the ball in the 90th minute, cuts inside and bends one in the top corner and just goes absolutely wild.
So two things come to my mind there. Firstly, when Adnan Januzaj did that against England in the World Cup and Belgium didn't want to win and everyone was like, hey, what have you done that for? You want to come second? And secondly, it is a bit like Golden Balls, but only if one of the contestants, like, went to their changing room and were told, mate, you're going to get your money anyway, even if you steal. Right. Because yeah. the only way, I think the only way that happens is if...
It's just a banter steal.
Is if one of the, if Colchester basically find out, like, we can lose.
Yeah.
So let's, you know, let's try and, in a competitive game,
sure.
try and stop our opposition from getting in the top seven, because that would be quite a fun thing to do.
Yeah.
Either way, even if that is the eventuality, and this game has been this game's been picked for live coverage on Sky, which is...
It's the only game in League Two which matters to both sides.
But it could, I mean, the second half could be one of the weirdest games of TV, televised football you've ever seen. I think 7-1 about a 0-0 draw. When 7-1 for a 0-0 draw is often the price when you get, like, I don't know, QPR playing someone. Like, yeah. it's not that short compared to usual. I think it was kind of 11-1, 10-1 on Tuesday night. I think there's still some juice in it, and that's my goal scorer pick, tenuously.
Okay, amazing. Right, we're really upsetting LR Beatrice with some of these picks, but we like to keep him on his toes, you know? League One goal scorer now for me, two or more. I want someone in rhythm. I want someone warmed up and ready to go. I didn't have to look far to find Aaron Collins of Bolton Wanderers. Clearly, the situation is pretty straightforward for Bolton. They need to win against Peterborough and hope that Derby lose against Carlisle at home, which seems highly, highly improbable. So if Derby take the lead early in this one, I think this game will be a sort of fun in the sun type game. And when it comes to Collins, I mean, he's such a streaky goal scorer. And this season, in the first half of the season, he experienced quite a long cold streak, and now he's hot. 6 goals in April alone, 22 shots total. He's had 4 shots or more in 4 of his last 5 games. I think Bolton might hammer Peterborough. I don't really understand where Peterborough are right now in terms of this kind of stasis, waiting for the playoffs to start, resting players in midweek. Do they go full strength here so that they try and get some rhythm ahead of their playoff semi-final? Are they playing that well anyway, even without all these questions of motivation and form? I don't really understand where Posh are, but you know I love Bolton. I think they're a really good team, and I think they might batter them. I haven't picked their -2 only because Posh are quite dangerous on the break, and I could see them scoring. And B, if Derby are 3-0 up at halftime, maybe Bolton ease off. Maybe they do. But I think Collins is just going to keep going. He is streaking right now through the quad to the gymnasium. And he is 12-1 to score 2 or more. So that's my League One goal scorer. What's next for you? Long shot.
You want my long shot now?
Yes.
My long shot is... I've had some joy recently picking long shots, kind of away teams at big prices.
Yeah, you have.
And I'm doing the same in the Championship. I think Bristol City are... unbelievably short to beat Rotherham. They're 3 on.
Wow.
They're 1-3 at home to Rotherham. Like, clearly Bristol City are a better side than Rotherham. There's no denying that. But for them to be that price would suggest to me that they have a lot to play for coming into this. And they don't. This is a game between two sides, neither of which have anything to play for. Bristol City maybe for, you know, a higher league position, Liam Manning wanting to finish the season strong, having come under some pressure earlier, fine, but like, not really. Rotherham come into it having been relegated, knowing they're going to finish 24th. But Steve Evans has come in, and Steve Evans's first game ended in Rotherham playing against a side that needed something out of the game, and Birmingham failed to get a win out of the game and failed to score. I think Evans is someone who will absolutely come in and immediately try and make an impact at Rotherham, regardless of the fact that there's nothing to play for. We've seen him give contracts to 2 key players this week, in Rathbone and Adolphin, which are impressive business, I'd say, for them to secure them both for next season. And crucially, we know that Bristol City have a real issue playing against low block sides. And even though a Manning team did beat an Evans team earlier this season when Oxford went to Stevenage and beat them 3-1. I still think it's a bit of a nightmare match for him, especially given that Rotherham kind of struggle. You know, we know they're not going to have any delusions as to how they're going to play. They're going to make it very difficult for Bristol City. And consistently we see Bristol City struggling to break that down. I also think it's going to be a pretty weird atmosphere at Ashton Gate, given that, you know, I wouldn't say the fan base are necessarily behind him now. And I think if they do struggle to break Rotherham down, it could get quite frustrated, even though there's nothing to play for. I'm a big Steve Evans fan in terms of him understanding how to get something out of games like this. I think he would love to get a win under his belt by the end of the season. So eventually, I think there'll probably be a game of few chances and not very good chances. So if that is the case, so you've got a Bristol City side that struggle against teams like Rotherham, or the way that Rotherham are going to play, and you've got a game, in my mind, is going to be very few chances, like the Rotherham-Birmingham game. If that's the case, then 1-3 the home team and 8-1 the away team is just a huge disparity, even if there is a quality gap between the two. So I think Rotherham are a massive price to win this.
My League Two goal scorer is a throwback from a few weeks ago. George Thompson plays for Harrogate. I've just picked them to win and cover the -2 handicap at Salford, and I'm backing Thompson to score two or more at 70-1. I backed him 4 weeks back, and as I mentioned then, he had kind of sneakily under the radar scored in 12 of his 36 appearances, 1 in 3 this season. Now it's 16 in total. He has scored any time in 15 of 42 appearances. He scored a brace last weekend. He's 11-2 to score any time, which I think is pretty bonkers, and therefore the two or more price appeals massively. He takes a bonkers amount of shots in his last five games, six shots, seven shots, three shots, five shots. He's on free kicks. He scored one last weekend. He's on pens as well. He is simply having the season of his life, George Thompson. And I've explained why I don't think Salford are going to offer up a huge amount. And I think that Thompson, on 16 goals, I don't see why he would just decide to have a quiet night or a quiet day to finish this incredible season. So I didn't really want to back goal scorers that also aligned with my handicap picks. I wanted to spread myself out a bit, but I just couldn't ignore Thompson at 70-1. I think it's a really exciting price. So that's my League Two goal scorer pick. For our joint collaborative pick,
yeah,
we decided to lean into fun in the sun, whatever you want to call it. We've gone
fun in the kind of cold spring weather.
Yeah, wild in the mild.
But you keep saying mild. I think it's cold.
Scold in the cold. Nice. Doesn't work.
Bold in the cold.
We've got an over 4.5 goals Yankee, is what I'm saying.
Yes.
Two picks each. Yankee, you go.
Five doubles, five trebles, and an acca. So a £1 Yankee would be 11 bets and cost £11. So, I mean, how many points are we staking?
You choose.
Maybe like...
I sold that kidney, so I've raised some funds for this weekend.
So maybe 0.2 stake per line is 2.2.6.
Okay.
So we'll do that.
What are your two over 4.5 goals picks?
I really like both of these. And I know this is normally your bag, but I think these are huge prices, and I'll be backing them both myself as singles.
You can
sure.
Have a go. Get inside my bag.
MK Don Sutton is my strongest by miles, and that's 4-1. I find this like a baffling price. MK Don's in the playoffs. Will they rest players? I don't care. It doesn't matter, because in their first team so far, four of their last five games have covered over 4.5. So we know that Mike Williamson's teams play an expansive style of football. We saw last time out their game finished 5-3 against Harrogate. Whether they play that same team again or whether they bring in young players, it's going to be the same mentality, and they're going to go into the same way, and they're a place to go for goals. So that's MK Dons, I would say, almost the first team you look for in the EFL when it comes to this market at the moment. Against the Sutton side, who under Steve Morrison, we've also seen loads of goals. Like their last seven games or six games have finished 3-1, 1-2, 3-1, 3-1, 2-2, 2-2. So kind of four in basically all of them apart from one that was three. So it hasn't quite breached the 4.5, but certainly loads of goals. So that alone makes me think that this is a high scoring game. And then you factor in the massive season state aspect of it, where going into this game, Sutton are on 41 points from 45 games. Colchester 44 points. So if Sutton are going to stay up, and then the goal difference, Sutton -25, Colchester -21. So if Sutton are going to stay up, they have to win. Colchester have to lose to Crawley, and they have to better the goal difference. And because it's all quite tight in terms of goals scored, with Colchester 58 and Sutton 55. So you'd think that if Sutton score enough goals to come back into it, they could even be level on goals scored. There are too many permutations to kind of say exactly what's going to happen. But what that means is that if Colchester lose, it'll be by a solitary goal, then Sutton have to win by three goals in order to draw level in goal difference with Colchester. So there is a massive incentive here. Sutton have to go all out attack. Like they have to score at least three goals if they're going to stay up.
Yeah.
Full stop, going into the game.
Yeah.
So for this to be 4-1 to me, when you've got one team who have to score three goals to get into it, another team in MK who has nothing riding on it at all, but we're seeing loads of goals, this is a yeah, I mean, it seems to me to be a massive price. My second one is a bit simpler and shorter. It's Stockport Wrexham. It's first v third. They're both already promoted. Both of them, again, scoring lots of goals. We know how many goals Wrexham score at home anyway, but Wrexham's last two home games, they've scored 10 goals in those two games against Crawley and Forest Green. They scored three on the road against Crew last time. Paul Mullin's absolutely flying. And then the same can be said of Stockport, who are enjoying themselves post-promotion. They've scored 9 goals in their last two games. So like, both of them seem to be in their kind of promotion celebrations, just throwing caution to the wind and not really worrying. You know, Stockport and Wrexham have had periods of the season where they barely concede a goal, but they are now, because who really cares? This is just a complete promotion party between two teams who are going to be rivals again next season and will probably want to beat each other. So yeah, Stockport and Wrexham is 5-1 over 4.5, but MK Sutton 4-1. They're my two.
Yeah, I've got one that's 5-1 and one that's 4-1 as well. When I initially did final day over 4.5 goals research, the categories that we had were Strive Then Thrive, Strive Then Collapse, and MTF Mid-Table Fun. And MTF was the highest proportion of all of them. So that's where I'm focusing. Mid-Table Fun.
Is there any top table fun like my last one there?
Not really.
It doesn't normally exist.
I love the pick though. I want to make that clear.
Thanks.
It's not how my brain works.
Okay.
Mid-table fun in League One comes in the form of Wickham against Charlton. And I think that there will be quite a lot of goals in it. And mid-table fun in League Two comes in the form of Accrington against Tranmere. I've already spoken about this game. Aki are super leaky. Tranmere aren't that much better. I think that Tranmere might be on the right side of a 4-1, and that really would be the dream scenario here. So we have a Yankee, as George explained. The fourfold price is at 900. 899-1.
Yes.
Two of them are 4-1, two of them are 5-1.
I think we can probably say 0.1 of a stake at that price. So yeah, 1.1 point stakes overall.
It is a 0.1 stake Yankee.
So 1.1 stake total, yeah.
Great, well done. And it includes Wickham and Charlton in League One, Accrington Tranmere in League Two, as well as Wrexham Stockport and MK Dons Sutton. There you go, George. Bit of excitement. Bit of extra duration on the pod. Hope you guys don't mind, but I do get particularly up for this one. Can you talk me through your picks, please, as you look to go, back-to-back, full stick of winners?
Blackburn to beat Coventry at 6-5 is my nap. Cheltenham to beat Stevenage at 9-5 is my next best. 0-0 in the Crew game, work it out, is my goal scorer bet at 7-1. And Rotherham to beat Bristol City at 8-1 is my long shot.
Blackpool to cover the -2 handicap at 7-1. Harrogate to do the same at 20-1 against Salford, the -2 handicap. Tranmere -2 at 12-1. Notts County -2 at 8-1. My goals picks are Aaron Collins, 2 or more at 12-1. And George Thompson, 2 or more at 70-1. All prices with the Betfair Sportsbook. I'm staking 1 point on each, so 6 points total. And if one of them wins, I will be making money. Anything above that, and we could have a real bit of fun. The Yankee at 900, so 899-1. Over 4.5 goals in Wickham Charlton, Accrington Tranmere, Wrexham Stockport, and MK Dons Sutton. What a lovely thing to be doing this Thursday. Next week, we've got a super busy schedule because we'll be reacting on Monday to the weekend action. We will also have a League One and League Two playoff preview with betting picks in that coming out in the middle of next week ahead of the League One, League Two playoffs. And of course, we'll make sure that we're across Championship final day as well. So stay locked to the Not the Top 20 podcast feed and to ntt20.com. Thank you to Betfair for sponsoring this podcast. Have a brilliant week. Let's hope for some real drama and some winners as well. Go well.